Welcome to the 100 Word Story Podcast's sweet 16th anniversary, broadcast live on Virtual Community Radio and hosted in Second Life in Shaunakee Library's Kilura Glen. I'm Elric Merlin of Virtual Community Radio, and I'm here at the Glen with R. Dismantled, the creative force behind the 100 Word Story Podcast.
Hi there, it's good to be here.
And we're very glad to have you with us. Also here in the Glen is Caledonia Sky Tower of Shaunakee Library and VC Radio.
Hello, everyone. It's great to have you all with us for this celebration today.
Callie, I know you've participated in our weekly challenges before and are familiar with the 100 Word Stories. And, of course, we're going to hear from R about his sojourn with the form and hear some of his work. But first, can you give us a primer on what somebody who is new to the form should know about it? I know it goes back a long way and was adopted by quite a few major literary figures.
You bet. It's actually pretty simple. Literally, a 100-word story is a form of flash fiction, a fictional work of extreme brevity, keeping it brief, that still offers character and plot development. And there's a lot of different varieties of flash fiction. Many of them are defined by the word count, as this one is, including the 6-word story. Can you imagine a 6-word story? The 280-character story, known as Twitterature. The dribble, known as the mini-saga, which is 50 words long. The drabble, also known as microfiction or 100-word story. Sudden fiction, 750 words. And flash fiction, 1,000 words. And a microstory. So, the roots of flash fiction go way, way back, as far as the time of Aesop in the first century with his fables, which were really short. And its roots go back into the East as easily as far as well. The thing about the 100-word story is it needs to be 100 words exactly. What it does for the writer, I can tell you from my own experience, is it makes you become very precise about your word choice. Each and every word, you scrutinize it just the same way as you scrutinize the syllables when you write haiku. It's actually a really, really good writing exercise. If I were to teach writing, I've taught a lot of things, but not writing. If I were to teach writing, I would teach 100-word stories and haiku as a way to get people to be precise and economic about how they write. It's real easy to be like the writers Dickens and in Dickens' day who, you know, were being paid by the word. Well, when you're being paid by the word, the more words you use, the more you get paid. But that doesn't always make for the best fiction. In fact, there are writers like Dickens, like Lovecraft and et cetera, who I really prefer their shorter work because there's a lot less, well, in the case of Lovecraft, there's just a lot less screaming going on. But yeah, so... So with 100 words exactly, there's not a lot of space. There's no space for filler words or flowery prose. You really have to, as R frequently says, keep it brief. Within the limited frame, you have just enough space to create a small story arc of any kind, dramatic, tragic, comic. I find that 100 words is an excellent vessel for writing comedy, just enough room for a setup and a really good punchline. But I've also heard some incredibly moving stories that R has written that have left me really thinking and almost breathless. But I think it's enough talking about stories. I think we need to hear a few from our special guest, R. Dismantled, of the 100 Word Story Podcast. R, would you be so kind?
Well, I'd love to. Let me pull some out of here. And they're just going to be humble jumbled. So let's go with this one. There's only so much blood a vampire can drink. There's only so much darkness a vampire can see. And there's only so much forever a vampire can take. They walk out onto the beach, strip off their clothes, and lie down to wait for the sun. Others hammer stakes into their own hearts, or they ask their servants to do it for them. Make me immortal, some will ask, but the vampire knows better. The vampire knows that it's not a gift, but an endless horror. So they kill their servants, walk to the beach, strip off their clothes, and wait.
Nice.
Wow. Impressive.
So that gives you an idea of how long they go, and probably not one for the kids' book.
No.
So let's I went through and did. I've got, if everyone in world notices, I've got a book strapped to my leg, and that plugs into a randomizer on the website. And so it pulls a random story, and I just kept clicking it. And it's like, oh, that sounds like a good one. Copy, paste, copy, paste. Put it in a notepad, and, you know, because trying to decide for myself is just...
Especially after 16 years, 365 days, 16 years, good God. It's a lot of stories.
Oh, my God, it can drive now. So
exactly.
So let's go with another one. It rained hard for a day, and the bayou looked like it would overflow, but it didn't. We watched tree branches and other junk flow with the water. Then, a dead body. Jeans, jacket, face down and not moving. Well, okay, it was moving downstream. Around the bend, another body floated by. Two bodies. Instead of calling the police, we placed bets. I bet on the first body. It had a good head start. But the other one was coming up fast. Mine got caught in a tree branch, and the other won. Only then did we call the police.
Oh my God, it's poo sticks with corpses.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it?
Oh. I don't know. That one's kind of a Mark Twain Huck Finn kind of feel.
It does.
Yes.
So let's go with this one. You can tell the class of friends you have by the quality of knife they stick in your back. Sterling silver is the best. Those are the ones you forgive. Stainless steel? Maybe you don't forgive them so quickly. And plastic knives? Those you should have never been friendly with in the first place. The kind of knife matters too. A carving knife or a butcher's knife lets you know they really care, while a butter knife will just slide right off no matter what it's made of. So that spork you stuck in my back? That's low, man. Low.
That's really...
Whoa.
I'll bet after this, I haven't written these nearly as long as you have, but isn't it true that you kind of get into the groove where you can write things in 100 words? You know, which is to say, when you first start out, you do a lot of subtraction and addition, and oh well, how did I get to 115? But after a while, you get to the point where you understand the rhythm, and you just automatically write at least within one word, if not exactly two.
And knowing which words to cut out, and sometimes if you need padding. I mean, maybe this started off as the 99 words podcast, and I was like, I think I'm leaving something out. And then it got to 101, and I was like, I don't know, I think I'm losing their attention span. And so settled on an even 100, I think.
Let's do one more before we head into an interview section.
Okay,
these are great choices. Well done.
Yeah, aren't they, Justin? And then sort of nicely edgy, too.
Mm-hmm.
Thank the randomizer.
The dark randomizer.
Yeah, let's try this one. When Tommy was little, he wanted a bicycle. His parents couldn't afford one, though. So he prayed for it. He'd pray that bicycle every night, but it was never there when he woke up. The kid from across the street had one, a nice, shiny red bicycle with a thumb bell, too. Tommy was jealous, and he wished that kid would die so he could get it in a garage sale. Sure enough, the kid was out riding the bike, and a dump truck hit him, killing him dead. Sadly, the bike was crushed. He bought the thumb bell for 25 cents.
Oh,
whoa.
Ooh.
Another one for the kids' book, I think.
That's right.
Yeah, right.
Boy, karma. Talk about your karma. Yeah.
Excellent stuff. You can certainly feel the family resemblance with haiku, in a sense. The carefully chosen everything.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very impressive indeed.
What's going through Rick's mind is, oh my God, and this is sponsoring VC Radio? Oh, what have I done?
No, it's great. I'm really impressed. It's absolutely marvelous. And I gather from Callie that in the physical world, you're a technical writer, and I can imagine that these things could be complementary or not.
Well, with technical writing, you need to keep it brief and to keep it to the point and know your audience. The most important thing, know your audience And you don't want to overwhelm people with too much. Give them just what they need. Link out to any background material if they want to learn more. So that it's very important. And actually, when I interviewed with the job that I'm in now, my 100-word stories were actually kind of a part of the appeal. You know, they know how to keep it brief. They know how to explain things. They know how to teach, and not at a loss for words.
Cool. That's neat. So how long have you been doing this? Where and how and where? Mm-hmm. How did you start?
Years and years and years ago, an old college friend, we were on a mailing list, and he posted up 100 of these, you know, 100 by 100. And I thought, okay, well, I can try it. And I wrote 3 goofy ones about Abraham Lincoln and put them on the shelf for a few years, and then saw a website, 100 Words or Less Nessman, the character from WKRP in Cincinnati. And you either had to write a 100-word story on the topic, or you wrote about Les Nessman. And they'd post a topic, and everyone would write on it. And pretty soon I got a habit of it, and I was writing more and more and more, and kept going.
Wow. Interesting. What a complicated story, in fact. And what strange things coexisting in the world you discovered?
Oh, it's just weird things. And that was just back in the day when blogging was fresh and brand new and not what it is today. And the creativity on the internet and people posting up stories. And I'd been posting other stories years and years ago and Usenet groups for writing and other stuff. And it's just all over the place. And there were other people on that site, and some kind of followed me along when that site decided to take a break forever. And that kind of led into a little venture of my own.
So are there a lot of people doing this? Are there lots of sites? Are there collections? Are there groups? Are there all that sort of thing?
Oh, absolutely. Grant Faulkner does a book on it and kind of took over the Wikipedia page and wipes out anyone who might
right. And they have they have a website too. Grant Faulkner and somebody else who have it's like 100wordstories.com or something, or .org or whatever they are.
Yeah, let them have Wikipedia. Nobody trusts them anyway. And so there's groups and school groups that do this stuff, and there are people that post, and some people that, you know, think, oh, well, I've got my own, I'll try this. And Norm Sherman of the Drabblecast. It slips one in every week, and then also includes short fiction and other stuff. And he's an absolute master at reading them. And just people try it, and they move on to bigger or smaller things. And it's amazing to see what creativity and twistedness and miracles people do in these stories.
Well, I know you really inspired me with it, and I was so floored when I realized it was only 100 words. And I didn't realize what a challenge it was until I started doing it. But it's one of those things that you learn. You learn how to do it. And it's really good for your writing. It really is.
What I am is extremely impressed by these stories, and I wonder if we might have a few more.
Oh, no. You can't have any more. No.
Okay.
I'll bring up a few.
So to speak.
Go with this one. The music teacher in my high school was rather avant-garde. Instead of learning to play our instruments in the traditional sense, blowing into them, stroking them with various implements, or smiting them with mallets in some semblance of rhythm and meaning, we toss them down a flight of stairs to listen to the odd beauty of the cacophony. The school administration tolerated his madness, and since the instruments were already in bad shape, tossing them downstairs was significantly less expensive than repairs. It was when he filled in for the drama teacher that they had to let him go.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
So there's that one. Let's go with this one. Two men toss a sharp knife back and forth. They catch it each time. One man tries to catch it in his teeth, and with a head spin, he comes up smiling, blade in his mouth. He tosses it to the other man, who leaps and kicks at the knife, catching it in his toes. This goes on for hours until one man is lying on the sand, knife buried in his chest. The other man pulls it out, wipes the blood off on his sleeve, and says, "So what do you think of my suggestion to flip a coin now?"
If you don't have a very active sense of irony, I think writing 100-word stories will help you get over that. It's perfect therapy for it.
I believe you're right.
This is stuff that you can tell somebody at a bar, next to you on the bar stool, before they can manage to smash the bottle and go after your neck. That's how I describe the length of these.
But you know, then you've also had some, you know, you talked about, I've heard the Lincoln stories. Yeah. But then you had the whole, which went for almost a year, the whole buy trip into George the Pirate, which I think came out of coming to a Shawnee Library event. And then suddenly I felt like I'd cursed you. Because
it's a curse. It's a blessing. Mm-hmm. It, you've inspired many things, most of them good. And I am so grateful to you for that the Shawnee Library and all the readers and everyone. Over the years, I'm at a loss for words for once.
It's been fun, you know. And first it was that you would come and read at the library on a regular basis. And then it was that, you know, some of the rest of us started writing. And I remember back when we were at Holly Kai and we started doing 100-word stories for the art in the park. And it's just been funny. You are part of the legend and lore of the library.
Gotten into your... Oh, the library and I have to bow down to Caden for this. Hearing you and Corwin and Caden and the others read the George stories. It's when you're a writer and you hear other people pick out and read through them, and they, you know, most people read stuff and throw it away. But to hear other people look through your stuff and find things that touch them, sometimes in a strange place, and but we won't go there. We won't talk about the bad man. The hearing them read, it was amazing and a great feeling and just like wow, and it just that was a good day. That was a good day.
We've a couple of times on International Talk Like a Pirate Day, we've gotten a panel of four or five sometimes of us who will go up there and R will provide us with sort of a book of George the Pirate 100-word stories to pick from, and we'll go through and pick them and read them out.
It'd be a ledger.
It's right, a ledger.
Should I read a George story?
Sure,
why
go ahead.
Don't ya?
Okay, yeah.
Let's see, how do these start? Oh, yeah. George was a pirate, but he wasn't a very good pirate. He couldn't do any pirate things right. And you know what they say about those who can't do. And so he started a pirate school. He taught people how to be pirates. And for pirates, he offered master's degrees and doctorates. The school got a lot of students. Even his old captain took a few refresher courses. He made a fortune in tuition, especially with the criminally high interest in student loans. Thousands of pirates were paying off their debt to George for years. He became the greatest pirate of all.
Outstanding. I love these stories.
That's great.
So 16 years ago, you started the podcast, and I'm curious, knowing you as long as I have, you probably know this. How many stories has that been personally for you?
Okay, so WordPress lets me do counts, and there are 5,100
Oh my God.
Plus 788 from the weekly challenges, which I may ghostwrite as a certain bard from a faraway planet. Mm-hmm. There are 1,000 in my drafts folder, thousands more in the trash heap. And then so many others on websites and stuff where people, hey, can you write me one? And sure, why not? Here, just take this, you know, whatever. And they're like, oh my God. So, yeah. If I were to guess, I'd say about 110 billion.
Wow. So, and so I am right. You have written ahead to some degree as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, the domain is one a day until the day I die, but I may have gotten a little ahead of myself. Just say it's my ghost doing them if I get run over by a bus or eat too many flaming hot Cheetos and explode.
So what prompted you to start the podcast?
Well, I was writing, and I was on several other podcasts in the dawn of podcasting. Mm-hmm. IMAO, and I helped out Michael Heron with the one or two of his Mikey pods long ago. And then I just said, why don't I do my own? And I had a certain domain, and I thought, well, podcasting is kind of full of crap, so let's record some of my stories there. And I just started, you know, the first one, May 31st, 2005, just put it up on the feed and kept doing it. And a little wild.
No, I probably shouldn't comment on my own questions, but I really can't help it with this one. It feels like a silly question, actually, but I can't get it out of my brain. So what really is your favorite thing, both about the podcast and about writing these stories? You can answer those in any order you want.
The weekly challenges. Yeah. There are so many creative, heartfelt, twisted, seeing so many different perspectives. I mean, Lizzie over there, Lizzie Goodkoff, has been with me on this for years and years. And I love just when I put up the topic and I try to think of one, and to see the many directions people go from the topic. And some people, well, it's so limiting a topic. No, it's a springboard. It's not a prison. You can go and seeing people's cultural perspectives and their life experiences. And it's amazing.
Well, I've noticed that in sometimes you give a single prompt and sometimes you give like a bunch of words put together.
Yeah, the pick two, mm-hmm. and try those. But also, if somebody doesn't want to write on the topic and they just want to go crazy, go right on ahead. Mm-hmm. You know, what am I going to do? Call the drabble police? No, I am not going to stop people from being creative and doing stuff. The only thing I really hope is that people will try to stick to 100 words. And I've seen people write 100, 200, 300, 400, and it's like, have you read the title of the podcast? And just seeing Chris Mooney sing, Sing Albatross here in SL. Mm-hmm. He wrote the Tales from the Bumboat and other stuff in blocks of hundreds and towards his dissertation. Mm-hmm. And that just, oh my God, just the amazing, from across the world. And mm-hmm. it's just amazing to be a part of that, even if just a tiny bit of it, mm-hmm. just, oh, I'm so proud of all the people doing stuff. And some people jump on other things and write other stuff. And the people who have come and gone, I mean, God.
It's such a wonderful community. And I love the fact that you, You really, what you want to do is you want to get people to be creative. You don't really, yeah, okay, it's a 100-word story podcast, and you know, but you're pretty liberal about it, in the sense that what's important is that people write, that they actually write, that they try it, you know, that they work with it, and you know, don't have to get it perfect. There's no perfect in 100-word stories. There's just doing it.
Well, so, as Sting says in, what is that song? Consider Me Gone. Mm-hmm. The search for perfection is all very well, but to look for heaven is to live here in hell. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'll put money in the swear jar later. that I quote that all the time, and that sounds like a you problem, not a me problem. Everyone should don't feel so tense about it. If you need to, sleep on it and dream on it and try. And if it's not your thing and, oh my God, I don't want to be on that site, fine. Come up with your own site. I will point to it. I will advertise it. If you don't have a space for it, I may even host it. I've got, God, so much space on that server. Mm-hmm. Try. Play with it. Have fun with it. And if it's torment, okay, take out your torment on your characters that you write.
I've done that. I've done that.
I have one question, sure. Which is, and you guys will, and many of the people here will not need this question, but for those of us who are not terribly well acquainted with your work and how the whole thing with the podcast and websites working, etc., what's the deal with the challenge? How does it work?
Okay, the weekly challenge is where, God, I've said this so many times that I was just about to get into the spiel. My spiel. The weekly challenge is where I post the topic and you come up with the stories. And the write a 100-word story on the topic, and then you write an email to, I'm going to put more money in the swear jar, isfullofcrap@gmail.com. There are several other addresses that'll send around that if there's a Google filter. And you put in the text of your story, an idea for a topic for a future weekly challenge. So we have a bunch in the hopper, and a URL where people can learn more about you if you want to. You can always do it anonymously. I don't mind, and I'm not going to dox you. And most importantly, a recording of it, and be sure to introduce yourself at the beginning so that I don't have to, and I can just drag these into Audacity and then take a smoke break. Not that I smoke anything. I take it in oil and gummy form. So and that's it. And the instructions are up on the site.
Yeah, I'm just looking at them now.
Click weekly challenge. Yeah.
Yeah. If you look on the upper right hand edge of the website, you'll see that there's a weekly challenge. Is there, and you can click on it, and there are, not surprisingly, very succinct, easy-to-follow instructions on how to participate, and some Google links. How do I record a podcast? What software can I use to record a podcast? What hardware can I use to do a podcast? Anyway, everything that you need, all the information that you need is very clearly laid out there. Oh, good heavens, there's a whole bunch of other stuff down at the bottom. It's a great page.
I should make a career out of that kind of
imagine.
I actually had someone peer review that and give suggestions, because in technical writing, it's all about peer review. You know, mm-hmm. You write and all that. Oh, this is perfect. This is wonderful. And then they just, let me get out. But it's, you know, teaching people the basics and cutting it down to a minimum, and then not owning the process, but telling people just Google the rest of it, and letting people pick the tutorials that they want so that you don't have to keep those up to date and such.
Right. Well, let's have a few more stories before we wrap up.
Okay. Let's go with a few more here. I'm trying to get the good ones. The ones that I've been reading are whatever. Okay. They called Vincent Price the master of horror, but his true calling was tap dance. In between takes, Vincent Price would don a top hat, pick up a cane, and he'd do a little soft shoe to amuse the crew and the other actors. Then, once the cameras and lights were ready, he'd go back to acting. Vincent tried to convince producers to cast him in musicals, but his agent insisted that he do horror. It's what the audiences want and love, and the studios pay for, he said. Vincent sighed, hung up his tap shoes, and put on his black cloak.
Poor Vincent. Oh, I love it.
All right, so let's go with this one. She has a reputation for breaking hearts, which is why she got pulled off the artificial heart assembly line and put in the product testing group. If you're going to break these things, we'd rather you do it in a way that helps save lives, not kill people, said the factory managers. The curious thing is, when she breaks a heart, analysts look over the heart and can't find the reason why it failed. She had such promise, says a factory manager, so much potential. It's too painful to watch her fail like this. And another heart is broken.
Very neat.
You know, what I love about these is even the funny ones, even outrageous ones, there is some grain of truth in them. Either there's a grain of truth that's real, or there's a grain of truth for the, I always, you know, that errant thought that goes through your head at a moment where you go, if I could just, you know, send them down the river, or, you know, or the whole play on the irony of playing on the broken heart. That's what I love about them. It's they always touch something that's true.
Oh, it's I take a feeling. I take a thing I see in the news. I take a thing somebody says, and then I say, I want to look around the corner. What's around the corner? There was this one Twilight Zone from the new series, although it's probably an old series by now, where every minute of existence, there were these weird creatures that built
right
that minute, and you
right.
lived in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you move from minute to minute, and then someone got stuck. And if you looked around the corner, there would be nothing there. If no, there was nobody there, there was nothing built there. It was just blank space. And I want to look around the corner. I want to see reality gets in our way. And I want to see through reality, past reality, at what's underneath it. What's in the pipes? What's mm-hmm. in the dirty sewers? What's in the watering closet?
Mm-hmm.
And open the, oh my God, you know, like in, what was it, the Truman Show, where he opens the elevator and there are people on the set back there. Oh my God, you know, close the door, and Truman, and they shove Truman out the door. You know, he wasn't supposed to see that, or the lights falling. And that kind of thing, trying to look and find reality. Not that I have any wisdom or whatever, but my twisted view of what might be back there. Who are the hands up the puppets? I mean, if you take an x-ray of Kermit, you're going to see Jim Henson's hand.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to see frog guts. I mean, this isn't biology class. So trying to find that. And
mm-hmm.
if I stumble across it now and then, oh my God, a blind mouse finds the cheese, you know, every once in a while.
I've had the experience, which I know you have too, of you start, when you write longer fiction, you sort of expect this to happen. But with a 100-word story, you don't always. And especially when we were writing for the art pieces at Holly Kai, where you start a story, a 100-word story, and you get about 3/4 of the way through, and then you suddenly realize there's a turnabout. The turnabout jumps up and down at you, and you suddenly take the story and you just give it a really strong twist. And that ends up being some of the best stories. But you have to wade into it to find it.
It's like getting in the wrong line at mm-hmm. the shopping center, and it's like, oh, what did I get in line for this time? this isn't the right line.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think, oh, it isn't the right line. Let's find out what it is. You don't want to do that with some things, but with writing, it's relatively safe. There's always the backspace key.
So. Another one.
Okay, another. If you insist. Okay, it's a little early for Christmas, but let's go with this. It takes a lot of energy to make a wish come true. The amount of energy depends on the wish. Little wishes, a little bit of energy. Big wishes, lots of energy. Where does the energy come from? From the mass of the star, of course. Based on Einstein's formula, you know our sun is a star, right? Scientists thought we could slow global warming by wishing the sun slightly smaller. But something went wrong. We wished too much of it away. So go ahead and sing "We Wish You a Merry Christmas," but not like you really mean it.
Excellent. Marvelous. You got a final one for us.
Okay, this one's going to be, usually I end on something with a little bit of emotion, but that was the Vincent Price one. Let's go crazy. Oh, yeah. When he retired, Max built a workout shed and wrote, "The body is a temple," over the door. He exercised every day, rain or shine, heat or blizzard. One day while he was walking to the workout shed, he felt a strange feeling behind his right ear. Everything went black, and Max dropped to the ground, dead from a stroke. Max had kept to himself, so it was the overflowing mailbox that was the first sign something was wrong. The mailman went to the backyard and saw the body covered with flies and other things. Temple? No. More like a buffet.
Ow!
Whoa! Stunned.
Yeah, but those are but you know the 100-word story format is a great forum to make those kinds of statements. Oh, I like it.
It's you take a common phrase, you know, the body is a temple. Okay, where am I going to go with this? And you twist it this way and you twist it that way and okay, if the body isn't a temple, there was a comedian who said, my body isn't a temple. It's more like something. I can't remember. May have been Bobcat Goldthwait's joke. I'm not sure. It's been so long. And you just twist them and go with them and see where it takes you. And sometimes you sleep on it and you dream of it and wake up and you got the notepad and pen right there by the bed and you write it and or you use, hey Siri, write this down. And you kind of expect Siri to say, are you sure?
Right. Oh, goodness. Well, this has been a real pleasure. It's been so fascinating to talk to you and listen to you. And I should also say thank you to Caledonia Sky Tower and the Shaunakee Library for providing the venue for this 16th anniversary celebration. And thank you so much, R. Dismantled, for sharing your unique literary journey with us today.
Thank you. And I'd like to thank everyone for coming and all those who write and are creative and have joined me on this journey and are continuing and all the people that have kept me going, whether it's Shaunakee Library or the podcast or with my family at DeBosch, the virtual dance troupe, just all the amazing creativity and beauty and madness and it's something special, and it shows that, you know, you can write and you can do podcasts and you can add to it with virtual presence, and it's not just people in their basements, it's people connecting, especially in as the world stops ending and people get you know, start getting back together. It's an amazing thing.
Right. Absolutely. Remember, if you're interested in learning more or participating in the weekly challenge, visit oneadayuntilthedayidie.com to learn more. oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. And with that, we wish you a good day and thank you for joining us for this special celebration. Happy 16th anniversary to the 100-word story podcast.